B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you're stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Agenda pre-Friday on Felger and Maz, hour number three. 4:05 here in Boston on Friday. Murray, the question you just asked me, can I? Well, no, I'm going to. Don't bring it up.
Okay.
don't bring it up. I was going to say, can I ask? Can I bring that up on the air? But I don't want to do that for lots of reasons.
Right.
So we'll stay away from that one. But Matt McCarthy's in. Jim Murray's alongside. We'll get back to your phone calls right away on what is opening day. Opening day of the Red Sox season. They'll play the Baltimore Orioles over at Fenway Park in just a little bit. And by the way, as we were going through the teams in the American League, and I said, I'm not convinced they're going to make it. The Red Sox should make the playoffs. I'm not convinced they're going to. Tommy Malone's pitching for the Orioles tonight against Nathan Eovaldi.
So bad.
Is that some street tough?
That game's almost even in Vegas. Almost even. So what does that tell you? Like, doesn't that tell you plenty? That Vegas looks at the Red Sox playing the Orioles and saying, that one's close. The Red Sox should win the game. But that pitching staff is so bad. Oh, my God. It's so bad. It is so bad, especially without Eduardo Rodriguez. They've lost 80% of their rotation from a year ago. And Eovaldi barely pitched. Like, I'm not sure he even counts, for crying out loud. They have no rotation. Bruce is in Brookline. Bruce, go.
So Fauci's first pitch, the reason it was so lousy, was unable to go to his mouth last night. But he was actually a pretty good athlete when he was young. He was captain of his high school baseball team.
Okay.
Got one question.
Did you call about that? Or did you call about the Red Sox?
Called about the Red Sox.
Okay. Go ahead.
One question. The impact of the expanded playoffs on trades and the trading deadline. And then one request. To get in the right mood for the new season, we need to have the Wheel of Gutless Bums spun.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, you're way behind. The Wheel of Gutless Bums has already been spun a couple of times.
And updated.
Yeah, updated. That's right. We have a new version. The 2020 edition of the Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Now it includes every pitcher.
No, we do. We dust it off like we're an automobile manufacturer. Yeah. You know, we just add some features. Really? Right. No, this one does. It comes with enhanced GPS. You do have the rear view camera, which is now standard. And the sensors in the front and the back for parking. Along with a Wheel of Gutless Bums.
And Ryan Weber.
I'll tell you, that Weber, I don't think he's that bad. I think that guy could be a fifth starter on a big league team.
He'll be better than Perez.
Oh,
oh God.
I'll tell you what, I'll take Ryan Weber. But the impact of expanded rosters on the trading deadline, since he brought it up, if you were a team in contention and you got to the deadline, which again is the end of the month, they're going to put the deadline right in the smack dab in the middle here of this season, pretty much. If you're a team in contention, I'll ask both of you this, Murray and McCarthy, and you could win a World Series, but you had to trade away, you know, a significant prospect to find that however you want, would you do it?
I think it depends. I don't want to sound like a fence rider. It depends on the team and the situation. If you got there and it felt like a bit of a fluke, then no. If you were one of those like middling teams and you have a really good prospect in your pipeline, no. But if you are the Dodgers, who feels like you've gotten screwed over here these recent years, or the Yankees, yeah, you definitely do it.
Yeah, if I'm the Dodgers or the Yankees or a team like that, I'm doing it. If I'm the Red Sox, I'm not doing it. Because why would you give up, you know, anything for the future for a season like this where you probably have no business being in contention in the first place? I wouldn't do it.
So I'll tell you, if I'm the Red Sox, in all probability, I would say no, definitively. The only way I would say yes is it depends who's in the field. Like if the Astros and Yankees somehow miss out, or, you know, Gerrit Cole, whatever, you get the idea, gets hurt, and all of a sudden you look at those teams and don't feel the same way, I would say maybe, you know. But the more I think about it, the chances of that with the Red Sox, my answer is no. I'm starting to wonder whether you'd say no, period. Like if you're the Dodgers, are you going to trade away your best, call it one of your best prospects? And I know they got a truckload of them. But you're going to trade away a guy to win a world championship in a 60-game season with an expanded postseason? My point is this. Of all the sports, I think baseball has the biggest asterisk, if there's one at all. And I can tell you this, because this is my sentiment, which is probably why I think this way. If the Dodgers win this World Series, I'm not giving them credit for it. No way. Uh-uh. Nope, you got to do it over 162, pal. No way. Any chance I have to discredit the Los Angeles Dodgers, I will do it. I will do it, which is why I'd say if I were the Dodgers and there are people like me out there, I wouldn't trade away an elite prospect to win the World Series. Will they? Probably, because I think they're going to try to treat it like it means the same thing.
Real quick, Maz.
Though, yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going to take it away from the Dodgers or the Yankees or one of those teams if they win this World Series. You know why? Because I would have felt entering the year that those teams would have been there in the first place. Now, if the Cincinnati Reds or the Chicago White Sox win the World Series, then I'm calling it the COVID championship. But the Dodgers would have been there. Okay, like that team's a wagon. Okay, and I know that it's 162 versus 60. I'm not going to take it away from one of those elite teams in baseball. But if the Arizona Diamondbacks bubble up and win the World Series, like, yeah, then it'll be the COVID championship for me. You know what I'm saying?
Of course I know what you're saying, yeah. I hate the Dodgers.
Well, I do too. But
so I'll find any reason possible to discredit the Dodgers.
At least I'm not that petty.
I will sink my... Oh, I am. When it comes to the Dodgers, I am. In fact, I'll even tell you that if the Yankees win, I'll give them credit. If the Dodgers, I won't. Like, that's how I feel about the Dodgers. Screw you. You guys haven't won in 30 years or whatever it is. You're going to win in a 60-game season now and call it a championship? No way. Jim's in New Hampshire. Jim, go.
Yeah, I just got to agree with you a little bit, Mr. Maserati. How can they play 35 games in a normal spring training and then try and sell us with a serious face that a 60-game season is a legitimate season?
Okay,
and as far as expanding the playoffs, let them all in. That would make it really interesting.
Jim, before you go on, let me just ask you quickly. Do you think they need 35 games in spring training?
Oh, not a chance.
Okay. So
not at all.
And is it anyone's fault other than, you know, they could have had, what, call it 80 games, okay? They could have had a half season. Would you feel differently if it were 80 games?
Marginally, but not much. I just think that with 60 games, that somebody, okay, put it this way. If somebody hits 400 after 60 games, you're going to call that a legitimate 400 season.
No, absolutely not. No chance. Right. So, but this is sort of what I'm saying. How do we separate the individual achievements from the team ones? The whole point of the game, and this is why I don't agree with Matt McCarthy when you say that, well, if it were the Dodgers, they were supposed to be there. Agreed. 162 is a long haul, man. It's a long haul. It breaks you down. This is why you need a roster with, you know, a million good players on it, because you're going to have injuries. You're going to need people to fill in. And there's also this element that guys aren't necessarily the same players in October that they are in August after playing 162 versus 60. And I know nobody plays 162 anymore, but the good players still play 145, 150. Some of them play more than that. And by the time you get to the end of the year, you're a little beat up, more likely than not.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I understand where you're coming from there, Maz. But a team like the Dodgers would have been there no matter what. You know, and there are very few teams in baseball where you can say that. But right now, the Dodgers, the Yankees, maybe the Astros, but, you know, who knows with their situation entering the year. If the Dodgers or the Yankees win this World Series, I'm not going to hold that against them.
I mean, they are the prohibitive favorites in Vegas.
They're the best two teams in baseball, and it's probably not even close.
Those two teams have easily the best rosters. Okay, easily. Max is in a truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I think Eduardo Rodriguez is not going to pitch for the season. I think the COVID... he's not going to be able to pitch. He's not going to be healthy. So do you guys see the Red Sox maybe signing a pitcher or trading for a pitcher? I mean, this pitching staff, the only two guys I can name are Nathan Eovaldi and Eduardo, is it Perez?
Martin Perez. Yeah, Martin Perez.
And they did sign a pitcher. We're all good. They got Dylan Covey.
Yeah, they also got Zach Godley, right?
Yeah.
They picked him up from earlier in the week. And I was watching Godley the other night. He's another guy that is a spin rate guy, curveball guy. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was the first thing that caught my attention. I went, oh, Jesus.
Even already has a fun slogan, bow to Godley.
Get used to these names. Get used to them.
That's going to be part of the fun of actually tuning in, because night in, night out, more than the over-under should be how many times you say, who? Throw up and down the roster, not just with the pitchers. It's set it at like 3.5 every night. Who?
Speaking of which,
Jimmy, who the hell is this guy?
Jimmy, did you give the starting lineup to McCarthy too?
No, I assumed he's hardcore baseball.
Oh, good.
He's already got a tattoo.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm all over it. Oh, I already hate it.
That's too bad. I wanted to play a game and see if you could guess it. I was kind of hoping. Does Billy know it?
Billy, do you know the lineup?
Has he looked it up? Does Billy know what the lineup?
He says no.
Okay. Billy's kind of a baseball fan, though.
Loves baseball. We watch neutral site baseball in the control room.
Okay, so you know what? I want to see if Billy can name the lineup when we come back. I wonder how many fans can name the lineup when we come back. The Red Sox starting lineup tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. And we'll continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Weber.
He's a starter.
Chris Mazza.
Who?
Brandon Workman.
It's the whole entire staff.
A shortened fake season means an all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox head nerd Chaim Bloom has given Ron Renicki precious little to work with in 2020. From the rotation to the bullpen. Now, let's find out who sucked in blue last night.
Barnes, Thornburg, Johnson.
And today's gutless bum is...
Oh, it is. It's a keeper. It's an all-timer. Never gets old. Never, ever gets old. You just spice up the names a little bit or freshen it up a little bit, and it's good to go. The Wheel of Gutless Bums back. Murray, how many years now for this?
That was...
3 or 4.
May 2018, believe it or not. It's the year that they won the title.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, tell me that is not Felger and Maz in a nutshell. Put that on the web, Billy.
Another grand slam for Felger and Maz.
Right. But even that, so that got updated 2 days ago, and it needs updating again, because Johnson didn't even make the team, right? Brian Johnson didn't make the team. And
Don't worry, he'll be back.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. True. Yeah.
Give it a week.
Velasquez is in the organization, but who knows?
Yeah.
Mazza. I saw a tweet the other day. Somebody's like, well, Chris Mazza didn't make the team. That's a surprise. I said, who is that?
Right.
I do a show called Hardcore Baseball. I don't know who he is.
Isn't that the infielder they just got?
I don't know.
Oh, the best part of that is that was invented in 2018. The greatest season of Red Sox history. I didn't realize that. I thought it was the year before.
That's what makes it even all that much more funny.
Wow, they went 108-54, and we focused on the bad bullpen.
Well, they sucked.
Go ahead.
No, they sucked up until, you know, they get it into the playoffs, and then they become the buzzsaw and shove it right down our throats.
Oh, that is so great. Wow, 108-54. Yeah, that was the year we made the Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Joe Kelly turns into right-handed Koufax in the playoffs.
God. Oh, right. So that's what that year was, right? And they picked up Eovaldi and everything changed. Boy, that is funny. Oh, gosh. We'll continue with your calls. Carl's in Connecticut. Carl, go.
You lineup thing with Billy?
Yeah, we're going to do that in a second. Connecticut. Go, Carl. Carl!
I want to tip my cap to you, Maz. Your fire this week was amazing. Mookie Betts is soup overrated. I completely agree with you 100%. My question to you is Mookie more of a $250 million player and Xander a $200 million player? You made his comparison earlier this week saying him being getting paid three times the amount is ridiculous, which I agree. But would you say he's more of a $250 million?
Okay, yeah. So look, you're throwing a lot of numbers out there, Carl. Here's what I'll tell you. Bogarts and Betts are pretty close. Now, Betts has got some, you know, elements to his game that Bogarts doesn't have. He's a better base stealer. I would say overall he's a better base runner, although I think Bogarts is pretty good there. Bogarts plays a more important position, and he's bigger and has more power. So, you know, I think they're close. Now, I would pay them both in the $25 million range for 8 years. 8 years, $200 million. I put them somewhere in that area. Like, I don't want to quibble over the details. But Bogarts, you know, was willing to take less. His value system is different than Mookie's.
Because of Alex Cora, he took less.
Well, so that's a good point. I'm telling you, if I'm the Red Sox, this is a story for another day. As soon as this season's over, bring Cora back. Bring him back. You got too many guys on this team that are important to your success that Cora got through to. Eduardo Rodriguez, Bogarts, Devers, even Vasquez. You need all those guys. As for the Red Sox starting lineup tonight, which will lead us into a bigger picture question on the team that we'll bring up again in the next segment. But this does sort of raise the question of how closely you're paying attention. Do you even know who's on the roster other than the centerpiece guys? And we all know who they are. But with Betts gone and everything else, what's the lineup going to look like? Billy Lanny, how closely have you been following this? Have you been following this closely? Like, do you know who's batting where in the Red Sox lineup?
In the order? No.
Okay, good.
I mean, I can tell you who's playing where they are in the order. No.
Okay, so tonight the Red Sox are facing the Baltimore Orioles and Tommy Malone over at Fenway Park. The lineup has been posted. Yep. Who would you guess is batting leadoff?
Benintendi.
Benintendi is batting leadoff, correct. Who's batting second?
I would bet it would be Bogarts.
Incorrect. J.D. Martinez is hitting second. Okay. J.D. Martinez batting second as the designated hitter. Do you like that or no?
No.
Why not?
3 or 4.
Okay. Who's batting third?
Devers.
Devers is third. Correct. Fourth.
All right, it's not J.D. Then it is... Right?
You already said it once.
Name another star.
Yeah, name another star.
Who would I say? Bogarts?
Bogarts. Yeah, it's Bogarts. That's right. Okay.
Xander Bogarts.
Now it gets fun. Who's hitting fifth?
Fifth will be... Who is... I'm going to say Chavis, Michael Chavis.
Okay, no, it's Kevin Pillar. He's playing right field. Who's hitting sixth?
You're throwing so many names. I'm so confused who I've used and who I haven't used. Vasquez? Can I say Vasquez?
Vasquez is good, yeah.
Nailed it.
Seventh is Chavis. You've already said him, so I'll let that one go. How about eighth?
No idea.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Okay, it's easily forgettable.
Okay, and Peraza's at second base. I'm not going to hold you to Peraza.
Who are these guys?
You're going to say, who the hell is Jose Peraza? So let's go through the lineup again.
I would have said Eduardo Rodriguez. Not Eduardo Rodriguez. Who's the guy that always blows his knee out? Nunez. Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, I love Kevin Pillar on those old Sox teams.
So again, here's your lineup. Benintendi, Martinez, Devers. Bogarts, Pillar, Vasquez. Chavis, Bradley, Peraza with Evaldi.
Who are these guys?
with Evaldi on the mound. Matt McCarthy, I know you have a particular thought on this because J.D. Martinez is batting second. This is something that happened the other night in one of the Blue Jay games. It might have been both Blue Jay games where he hit second. I know he hit second in the first one. And Ron Renicki was asked about this after the game, said it's something they might do regularly once the season starts. As it turns out, indeed, J.D. Martinez has been bumped up to the two spot. Tommy Malone for the Orioles, as I said, is a starter. He is a left-handed pitcher, but go ahead. What's your sentiment on J.D. hitting second?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
And why?
Because this is the new age thing in baseball, right? Have your best hitter hit second. Why? Because some nerds say that that's the opportunity. That's where you should put your best hitter. I don't even know why the nerds say it. Here's why I hate it, though, Maz. You know why? You know, for 150 years in baseball, you put your best hitter third or fourth, right? Because of the run batted in. And I know the run batted in is the most worthless stat, according to the nerds, but I want J.D. Martinez hitting with more runners on base than fewer runners on base. It's not that hard a concept. He is an RBI guy. He's the type of person you want up with runners in scoring position because he's a good situational hitter. He should be hitting third or hitting fourth. Let's not reinvent the wheel here. J.D. Martinez is your cleanup hitter. There's no reason to do this.
I got another one for you there, baseball boy, with Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
Batting fifth. So they're going to have him in the lineup against every lefty. Like, why not Moreland? Why not Verdugo?
So this caught my attention too, Murray, but go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is why you bring Pillar in, right? I wish Pillar were in there for Jackie Bradley. That's what I hoped.
That's what I thought that they brought him in for in the first place.
Right. I'm not a huge fan of having Bradley in the lineup against a lefty. At what point are the Red Sox going to realize that Jackie Bradley Jr. is a platoon player?
No.
That's what he is.
So this is one of the problems with the Red Sox roster. Okay, I'll tell you what. In fact, I'll hold that thought, and we'll go over that particular part of it when we come back. We'll do a lot of baseball here, probably over the balance of the show, but certainly we will be hitting on some other things that we talked about during the week. David Pasternak and his inability to go to Toronto with the Bruins for the start of play there. Certainly, by all indication, Pastrnak is not going to be on that flight when the Bruins leave on Sunday. We've touched on Cam Newton, Tom Brady, all those things in the news this week. But the return of baseball certainly on the front burner here in the last couple of days. The Red Sox will play their opener tonight. And so there is one obvious question now concerning the Red Sox here, as we know, or as they take the field, and we know that the playoff structure has been changed. More teams will make the playoffs now in Major League Baseball this year. Eight in each league. So as a fan, as a Boston fan, as a Red Sox fan, even in an abbreviated season of 60 games, what are your expectations for them this year? I know Murray has expectations. I know McCarthy has expectations, and I have them. We'll get to those, and I'll tell you those specific lineup thoughts after McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So again, we'll get to the Red Sox lineup here, the particulars of it in a second. But I did just want to mention, or ask again, under the circumstances, with the new playoff format, for those of you who are unaware of it, Major League Baseball and the Players Association yesterday and last night, right before the start of the game, agreed on a new playoff structure for this year only. Now, they could implement it long term, but for now, it's just for 2020. And that is, instead of 10 teams total, five per league, the field is going to 16, which is eight per league. So all of a sudden, the top eight teams in the American League are going to make the playoffs. Your Boston Red Sox are very much in the thick of that. They're in. And when I say they're in the thick of it. They're in that conversation. And we went over the teams in the American League earlier today in terms of who's probably in, who's probably out, who the real contenders are. It's certainly the Yankees, the Astros, Oakland, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and Cleveland. Matt McCarthy went through and gave you his thoughts, but I think generally that's a consensus. Those six are going to make it. The next two are going to come from a pool involving the Rangers, the Red Sox, the White Sox, the Angels, and I'm leaving one out.
Maybe Seattle. Oh, no, the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. Blue Jays are the other one. Okay, because I think the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are close.
I agree.
I think those teams are going to be relatively close. And so the question is, should the Red Sox make the playoffs? To me, the answer unequivocally is yes. Absolutely, they should be in the playoffs. Top eight, a team still with a payroll approaching $200 million, is not going to make the playoffs?
I mean, given that lineup, they should, now that they've expanded it.
I mean, if they don't, it's a real failure.
And that they'll be mopping up on crap like Baltimore, Miami, right? They're over there.
Yep, correct.
Florida Marlins again. I forget what the hell they've called them, the Marlins. You know, they're playing some real garbage in the AL and NL East. So, yeah, I mean, it's set up for them. But there are some teams we could be sleeping on. You mentioned one of, you know, the White Sox, the Blue Jays, too. I think that's a coin flip. I don't know necessarily the Red Sox are definitively better than Toronto.
So it's amazing that I say they should absolutely be in. And yet, if you ask me what my confidence level is, I tell you, I don't know. They're iffy. Iffy. I'd put them, you know, in terms of the odds, I'd put them to make the playoffs right now at 50-50. I'd say that one could go either way. I think there's a chance they could suck because their pitching is so decimated. And I think there's a chance if they start bad, they will mail it in and shut it down. Which gets to that lineup, too, which, again, I want to get to.
But you don't mean it's just suck enough to miss, not Detroit Giants. Marlins suck.
Yeah. No, like I wouldn't look at them. If they were to play 162, Murray, I wouldn't say that they're going, you know, 70 and 92. Okay, I don't think they're a high 60-win team or even a low 70. But I think that they could have ended up with a losing record. And I think that it's entirely possible that in a 60-game schedule, they go 25-35.
You're talking like Seattle level suck, 11th, 12th in the American League.
Correct. Yep.
Which is totally unacceptable for a team of a payroll nearly, you know, nearing $200 million. And, oh, yeah, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I just think that there's a level of unpredictability to this season to begin with. And given what's going on with their pitching staff, if they get off to a bad, like, let's just say they lose three in a row to the Orioles to start. Let's say that happens and they actually get swept by the Orioles, which is probably unlikely. I mean, I think worst case, they'll win one of the three.
What a tone that would set.
Okay, but let's say that were to happen. They had trouble with the Orioles last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they have a losing record against the Orioles last year?
It was embarrassing.
Matt, can you just double check that
for
me?
I'll check that, but yeah, that rings a bell, Naz.
I think they had trouble with the Orioles last year. In any case, let's say that happens. Then they play the Mets, who have good pitching, and the Mets won 86 games last year. Then the Yankees, then Tampa, then Toronto, then Tampa, then New York. They could be buried by the time we get to, like, you know, the middle of August. The thing could be over. Who the hell knows? I just, all those games with the Yankees, they're going to get slaughtered. They're going to lose those games like 13-6. Mark my, they are going to get slaughtered when they play the Yankees. Chris is in a car. Chris, go.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Happy Friday. So my point was, if you guys, I'm not sure if you put a number on it, but I'm going to put a number on it, 22-25 games won. And I was just wondering if you guys put a number. And my other question is, if they stink really bad, would you suck for luck? And I know baseball is a totally different game.
Okay, but my answer is yes. My answer is yes. If it's apparent halfway through that they're going to be among the dregs, would I go for the number one pick? My answer is yes.
Absolutely. It's becoming more of a sure thing in baseball than it's ever been.
Well, and the other thing is they have such a clear need in their system for young talent, particularly pitching, that absolutely, I'll take the first pick at the beginning of every round. No two ways about it. So he says the low side is like 22 wins. And that, you know, he's got him at 22-25. I would tell you that I think realistically, the Red Sox are going to be somewhere in that window between 25-35. I think their high side is 35. I don't think they can get higher than that. And honestly, that's probably even a little too high.
35 seems high. Yeah.
Okay. That probably is too high, Murray. And maybe 25 is a little low, because if it really goes bad, I think there's a quit factor with this team this year. I do. And it's not something I would normally say, but amid the pandemic, with all the stuff that's gone wrong, if they get off to a bad start, Operation Shutdown. Operation Shutdown. It could get really, really ugly.
Well, and just watching a few innings of that Dodgers-Giants game last night, and that, again, the Giants, they're so bad that they have Pablo Sandoval batting third. That's a team, you know, they say they start 0-4. Hey, say the hell with it, right? Like, right. You know you have no shot. This is the team you're fielding. Your first pitch, the first pitcher they put out there is a washed-up Johnny Cueto. Like, things got to go sideways fast. So I get it. You know, if they started off bad against Baltimore, some of these guys don't want to be here. Devers shows up out of shape. It could be bad by mid-August.
Is this one of the reasons why baseball is expanding the playoffs at the last minute here? Because you think about the shutdown factor. Like, I mean, I was saying it a few days ago. Like, if the Red Sox, and this was under the old playoff format, you know, if they go 3-7 in their first 10 against the Mets, the Orioles, and the Yankees, well, the season's done, right? Is baseball expanding the playoffs because they're concerned about that team that goes, I don't know, 4-6, 3-7 in the first 10, and they say, we're good. We're good here.
I wouldn't rule that out.
I hadn't thought about that. That's pretty smart. And then there was the report yesterday from, who was it, from the New York Post that said that they're only doing it for this year. And if it really is only for this year, that's smart. You got to incentivize some of these teams that it starts off bad for, where they feel like some of these players are showing up just, you know, feeling like, all right, let's go through the motions. Like, you add six more teams to this thing, it gives them more reason to actually try if they get off to a bad start.
Or they were afraid that the Yankees or the Dodgers or a team like that would stumble at one point and miss the playoffs in a fluke.
See, I don't think it's that. I think they know how good those teams are and those teams are going to be in. And I think your first thought, Matt, was something closer to the truth. Now, I should have followed up on this, and I haven't. I don't know what the financial ramifications are, but I got to believe that there's money to be made by more postseason inventory. Okay, so that's a factor, too. But I do think that if teams start out bad, I mean, look at the Giants. Buster Posey opted out. If the Giants were good, would he have? I doubt it. I mean, maybe Buster Posey would have played it out. And so I just think there's a chance against some really bad teams that are going to quit. They are. They're going to quit, and then guys are going to get injuries and say, this isn't worth it anymore, and I don't want to be on the field. And, you know, I know how I would handle it if I'm the Red Sox and that happens, and that is if you start to lose guys, let the young guys play. You know, Jay Groom, who was a high pick a couple of years ago, he's on their roster. He's on their list of bodies as available players. Unless I missed something, Matt, right?
No, he's there. Basically, all of their top prospects are in the player pool, even if they're not even close to the big leagues. I mean, Groom isn't close to the big leagues at all. He's like low A.
Right. Jeter Downs, who they got in the Dodgers. Those guys, I would play those guys. Later in the year, if you're out of it, I think people are going to want to see those guys. And you know what? Let's take a look. Let's take a look in these. Treat it like exhibition. If it gets to that point, I would play those guys. Chris is in a hammock. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I consider myself a hardcore baseball fan, but Maz, I'm with you. The game needs some help, and I have a couple suggestions real quick. Number one, I never thought I'd be against the shift. The shift has got to go.
I agree.
I'm seeing balls hit, you know, that should be base hits every single day. And there's a guy five steps in front of the right fielder throwing him out at first base.
Give me number two and three quickly.
Number two is instant replay, and only for the regular season. And I say that because what I miss about baseball is I miss the manager coming out, disagreeing with the call, a bang bang play at first base, getting in the guy's face, like spitting at him. He throws him out.
Okay, what's number three?
That's it.
Oh, all right. So the argument's instant replay. All right. So I would tell you that some of those will happen, some won't. And, you know, I don't want to get into the whole how to improve the game thing. Every time we do that, we go down this, this endless spiral of crazy phone calls and crazy ideas.
Tweet your thoughts to @MattMcCarthy985. I will entertain them all.
The shift has got to go. But I did want to get back to the Red Sox lineup because I said I wanted to finish the thought. J.D. Martinez hitting second. Matt, I'm with you. I don't love it. I know why they're doing it, though. They want the left-right thing. And if Devers hits second, now you get Benintendi, Devers at the top of the order, and now with the three batter minimum for the relievers, and again, that's a new rule if you don't know that. Any pitcher that comes into the game must face a minimum of three batters unless you get out of the inning. In other words, if you come in to face one guy, you get him out and the inning ends, you don't have to come back out to start the next inning. They're just trying to minimize and eliminate pitching changes to improve the pace of play. But I do like, you know, again, it takes away a little bit of power from the manager, which I like. But if you have Benintendi Devers at the top of your lineup, the other team can bring in a lefty, and, you know, now it's going to face what might be, you know, two of the better lefties in your lineup, or maybe the only two good lefties in your lineup. So this is why they're doing it. But Renicky could just as easily do it by hitting Bogart second and Martinez fourth. He's done it the other way around. So again, Martinez is going to go second. There is this like cute little trend that everybody's now falling into line because once somebody does something radical in baseball, everybody copies it, which is why every team now shifts and you have 40,000 shifts or 50,000 shifts a year. It's annoying. Like none of them can think for themselves and say, you know what, I don't like that, but the analytics are driving everything and that's what it tells you.
The Red Sox were shifting against right-handed batters.
They do it now. They all do it now. Yeah, righties and lefties. It's insane. It's stupid. I hate it.
They were the lower percentage of the league last year shifting against righties.
You've got to protect the game from itself, which is why you got to eliminate the shift. But that aside, the other thing I don't love about the lineup, and Murray, was it you who pointed it out?
Yeah, Pilar.
Kevin Pilar's playing instead of Verdugo?
I saw it the other day, too. I forget which one of the beat folks had it that, like, they've already said Pilar's going to play against every lefty. He'll always be in the lineup when they play lefties.
Okay, and it even goes beyond him. Chavis is playing at first over Moreland. So now, I know Pilar and Chavis hit left-handed pitching. And I understand that it's the start of the year and we'll see how it goes. Okay? I mean, but it's only 60 games. It's not 162 anymore. I want Verdugo in there especially. You're developing him. That guy is going to be a starter for you. And I can't remember who I said it, which one of you guys I said it to about the problem. With, like, I think it was you, Matt, who said you'd rather see Bradley sit and Verdugo right. play. I'm with you on that. The problem with the Red Sox outfield is they're all left-handed, right? So it's Benintendi, it's Bradley, it's Verdugo. Now you got Moreland at first base, Devers at third. Like, if they all play, a lefty will eat them alive.
Verdugo's a .316 career hitter, small sample size against lefties.
Okay, so this is
unreal.
Why I would like to see Verdugo play against lefties So what are you telling me? Already you've decided he's a part-time player?
Well, I think this is deeper. I think this is pacing players and getting them back into shape. So you're not going to start the season off with the same lineup for 10 straight days.
Is that your cell phone telling you that, or is that?
Might be informed.
Okay. I mean, I think that's asinine, too. Like, you know, what
won Terry Francona multiple world championships.
This was always a big deal. Like the Red Sox, well, he's not going to play nine innings until the final 2 weeks. Ooh, because it's so hard to play nine innings.
Kind of is.
Oh, God, I hate that. We'll continue with your calls when we come back on Agenda Free Friday on opening day.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, time promo for the show there. You know what that was about, Marie? The boo, boo. Remember the app that would let you pump sound?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You could pump sound into the stadium while you're watching your favorite team play. I think it was in Korea they were messing with that app, where you'd be able to cheer or boo, boo, boo. I figure it's a good time to bring us to the DraftKings pick of the week. Here's why. You'll understand in a minute. But it's been a while since we've been able to do this. We used to do this every week, but there haven't been any games in 4.5 months. For crying out loud. So, DraftKings Pick of the Week, brought to you by DraftKings, presenting sponsor here with the Felger and Mass Show. DraftKings has thousands of dollars up for grab this weekend. You can download the DraftKings app now, like I have on my phone. Use the promo code SPORTSHUB during sign-up. You can play for a chance to win the big prize. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, the DraftKings Pick of the Week, it's opening day. I'm picking the Orioles. I'm picking the Orioles. I'm in the a-hole chair. I'm going to be a dick. Sorry. I'm picking the Orioles.
Boo. Boo.
Boo.
Boo. Naz. Boo.
Boo.
You suck.
I'm picking the Orioles. I told you. Go ahead, Murray. What?
I want to look up this Orioles lineup and see how many names I can actually know.
So I did almost go the other way and pick the Red Sox. And the reason is because Trey Mancini's not playing for the Orioles. He's one of their better players. He opted out a while ago. Because I think he has cancer or...
Yeah, he's got a real, real bad medical situation.
Yeah, and so, again, totally legitimate reason. But you know what? Screw it. I'm picking the Orioles. This idea that the Red Sox should absolutely make the playoffs, and it's true, they should. I'm worried about them. I do. I'm worried about how they're going to react to this season, particularly if things go bad early. And Evaldi's huge for them. I think Ryan Weber is now important, for crying out loud. After watching him pitch the other night, I was reasonably encouraged. And I think the Red Sox are going to hit. But screw it. I'm picking the Orioles tonight. I want the Red Sox to face a little adversity early to see if they have any balls and they really want to play.
I definitely only know one of these names.
Okay, read it to me.
Leading off is Austin Hayes in center field.
I've never heard of him.
Batting second, right field, named after the bank. It's Anthony Santander.
Him I've heard of. Okay, I don't know if he's any good, but I've heard of him.
Batting third at shortstop, Jose Iglesias.
He's an Oriole?
He's the third hitter?
Yep.
Wow, oh, my God.
That's a bad lineup.
Holy crap. He's a three hitter?
Who are these f***ing guys?
Batting cleanup, the DH, Renato Nunez.
Nope, don't know him.
Batting fifth, the one name I do know, Chris Davis, still playing baseball.
Hitting 180.
Yep, at first base. Batting sixth, Hanser Alberto.
Oh, him I've heard of, yeah.
At second base. Batting seventh at third base, Rio Ruiz.
Any relation to Rosie?
I thought half of these guys played for the Blue Jays.
Oh, batting eighth, the catcher, Pedro Severino. And batting ninth in left field, you have DJ Stewart.
Oh, yeah, right, him. Yeah, DJ.
And the starting pitcher is street tough Tommy Malone.
Wow, that lineup blows.
Wow. That is so bad.
And I would still take the Orioles tonight. Something tells me it's going to get ugly. I don't know. I just got a bad vibe about how this thing's going to start. I don't have anything to base it on other than my gut, but I am. I'm worried about the beginning of it. So there you go. DraftKings pick of the week. Screw you. I'm being Ricky. Ricky Ricardo. Dick Richard. I'm picking the Orioles tonight. Longest commercial-free segment. McCarthy has your headlines. Don't go anywhere. We will take your calls on opening day here on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.